Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And of course, I also encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You'll find a number of things about us there, and I just wanted to encourage you to check that out, some of the articles and things that we have there. In fact, I've got a couple of articles of some things that we're going to be talking about, some perhaps tonight. Then on Friday, of course, we're on every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And then, of course, a week from tonight, we're going to be talking about some of these things as well. Of course, today being Palm Sunday, and then 1 week from today is Easter Sunday. And probably on our program next week, we'll be talking a little bit more about the word Easter. There's an aversion to using Easter in connection with the celebration of the resurrection of Christ in some circles. And I used to be of that position until I did some investigating into Easter and Acts chapter 12, verse 4. So we'll be talking about that next week, Lord willing. Also, probably on Friday, we'll be talking a little bit more about the timeline of Passion Week, and we might touch on some of that tonight as well, and in looking at what day, actually we may start with that a little bit tonight, what day was Jesus actually crucified on? I know most people say it was Friday, but I always point out to people, Jesus said he'd be 3 days and three nights in the tomb, don't know how you get that between Friday late afternoon, and early Sunday morning. In fact, you can get Friday as one day, Saturday is the next day, and Sunday is the third day. That's 3 days. I'll give you that. So then you got Friday night is the first night, Saturday night is the second night, but where's the third night? And we'll touch on some of those things as well between tonight and Friday program and next Sunday week from today. So I hope you'll be with us those times. And we've got some other things planned for tonight as well. In the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about what's happening in Israel. A lot of people do not know or at least are confused about what's happening in Israel right now. Thousands, tens of thousands. Actually, I saw one report, over 100,000 people on the streets in Israel. And this is a great deal of unrest. Some people are speculating, is Israel on the verge of a civil war? And the newscasters in Muslim countries are playing clips of the unrest in Israel and clapping their hands and praising Allah and things like that on the air. So there's a lot going on there. And in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll have Michael Goldstein, who's been on with us before, used to live here in northeastern Ohio, and then, of course, now is living out west. And he will be calling. He's got some inside information on what's happening in Israel, so he will be with us at 11 o'clock. But in the meanwhile, I hope you'll stick with us here tonight and join us online at livewithpastoral.com, where you find out more about me, and you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, there as well. So let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer, and we'll get into our number of things and get to our callers here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We thank you that we could celebrate the Passion Week, the Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, presenting himself as the Messiah, and then, of course, followed a few days later by his betrayal and then his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and which we'll celebrate at Easter time. And so we thank you that we have the freedom to do that right now, and we just pray that you would bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, we just pray in all things we would lift up and glorify Jesus Christ tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we will get you on the air here tonight. And we have got Nancy calling in tonight, and we're going to jump right to Nancy right away. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I was thinking maybe I couldn't get through to you because I called that local number, you know, 901-0933. And mm-hmm. said, this is not a working number, but praise the Lord, you texted me the number. Thank you very much. Now, my question and concern mm-hmm. today is regarding the tribulation.
Right.
And those that do not take, you know, the lost people that don't take the mark of the beast, but they're going through the tribulation. And it seems like years ago, I used to hear about, I hear a lot more about people being beheaded if they did not take the mark.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard much about people being beheaded lately. I don't know, you know, if it's just something that doesn't happen that much during the tribulation or what. But what I want to know is, from my understanding, if you don't take the mark of the beast, you cannot buy or sell or do the things that you normally do in everyday life. So how do these people that do not take the mark of the beast, how can they last all the way through the tribulation? I mean, do you know how many of them like get beheaded or killed or something? Because, you know, it's supposed to be a requirement during the tribulation. There's supposed to be much violence and bloodshed. But I just don't know, is it possible for someone that does not take the mark of the beast to somehow get through the tribulation? Like maybe a friend would buy their groceries for them or what? Do you have any information on this? Thank you.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, it will be a difficult time, obviously. And it's about the midpoint of the tribulation when the mark of the beast is officially instituted. And no doubt there'll be some preliminary steps taken, but at the midpoint of the tribulation, and this would be in, let's see, Revelation chapter number, let's go to chapter number 12 or 13 here. In Revelation chapter 13, we have revealed to us the Antichrist. He's the first beast that we see in Revelation 13, verse 1. I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And then it says in verse number 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And this would be the false prophet. And in the midpoint of the tribulation, there is an altercation, and I'm just kind of summing up a lot of stuff here quickly, an altercation with the two witnesses that are in Jerusalem during this time. And when the Antichrist confronts them, he apparently is successful in killing the two witnesses, and the Bible talks about them being slain, and it says in Revelation chapter 11, let's see here, in verse number Let's see, verse number 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And it's talking about Jerusalem here. And at some point in this time frame, the Antichrist, the beast, also receives some kind of a deadly wound. And there's some argument whether it will be to him personally or to perhaps his kingdom and his ability to rule. But what happens is the second beast, the false prophet, makes an image to the first beast, and the Bible says that in Revelation, back to Revelation 13, that he had power to give life. Verse 15, Revelation 13, verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, this is interesting because over in Revelation chapter 20, I believe it is. Let me turn over there. Revelation chapter 20, and here it is, verse number 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So this is during the millennial reign of Christ, and is a reference to those that we read, that I read about in chapter 13 verse number 15, where those that do not worship the image of the beast are to be killed. And immediately after that in Revelation 13, it says in verse 16, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Well, a score is 20, so 66 would be 60. So that's 666, 666. And mm-hmm. 6 being the number of man, it's kind of like a false trinity, you know, because we have the Holy Trinity, which could be pictured by 777, you know, the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, 7 being the number of perfection and all that, but 6 being the number of man falling short of perfection, obviously. But what's interesting, and let me just touch on something here in verse chapter 14 real quick too. In verse number 9, it says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." And so we see. Oh, go ahead.
What chapter in Revelation are you reading out of?
That's chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. And see, those verses there, chapter 14, verses 9 and 11, echo what we read in chapter 20 and verse 4, where it says, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Let me back up a little bit. Which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. So there appears to be a link. When the false prophet sets up this image and commands people to worship it and to receive the mark, and they cannot buy or sell without this mark, the mark seems to be linked to worshiping the beast, the Antichrist, as God. And I believe that ties in with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says there in the first few verses of the chapter, talks about the man of sin, the son of perdition, going into the temple and showing himself that he is God, basically making a claim to be God by intruding into the Holy of Holies in the rebuilt temple, which will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And in Daniel chapter 9, where it talks about Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks of years during the midst of the last week of years, which would correspond to the seven-year tribulation period. At the midpoint of that, it says the prince of the people that come, meaning those that, out of those that destroy the temple, which would be the second temple, that would be out of the Roman Empire, that he commands the sacrifices and oblation to cease. So there's going to be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem, and the sacrifices and oblations will resume in that temple just like they did before Christ, and they'll have that taking place. The midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist will enter into the temple, apparently command the sacrifices and oblations to cease, and he will go into the Holy of Holies and declare himself to be God. He'll present himself as if he's God, and the false prophet will echo that and command that everybody receives this mark either in their forehead or in the back of their right hand, and they're not able to buy or sell with this. You won't wake up with it accidentally in the morning and go, oh, how'd that get there? You'll have to apparently worship him as God, because he'll claim to be God. And we saw there in Revelation 14, Revelation 20, it appears that the condemnation on those that receive the mark is linked to them receiving the mark and worshiping the beast, meaning worshiping him as God. So how will people live during this time is a very good question. Obviously, it even though the command will go out, they'll have to begin to implement it. And that's why I think some implementation may be seen. I think some experimentation, some dry runs, obviously. And I think we're seeing some of that today. We have right now the movement toward cashless society and the movement by the World Economic Forum and others to eventually get rid of paper money and go with central bank digital currencies, where every bit of your money can be tracked in real time and controlled, where you will not be able to access your money unless they allow you to. We see this happening in China right now, where they give you a social score, and if they decide that you don't deserve to go on that trip, they won't authorize you to spend money to buy fuel and to rent a hotel room, things like that, or buy tickets on an airplane or whatever. Or if they just simply decide you've used too much gasoline this month, so you're not allowed to buy any gasoline. They'll just you got the money in your account, but when you go to get your gasoline, you just won't be allowed to spend it on gasoline. And many things like that will take place. These are all dry runs. And so when the mark of the beast is fully instituted, it'll take time to implement it. And apparently, a lot of people will receive it, and they'll worship the beast as God. But a number of people won't. And as we saw there in Revelation 13, verses 15, it says, a cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And it appears to be beheaded, according to there in Revelation chapter 20. And so the people who are on the earth at that time who do not want to receive the mark of the beast, apparently there's going to have to be several things taking place. One, like you said, perhaps some people would be sympathetic and buy them food or buy them things and you know, give them things that they need. And that would appear that in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus talks about the nations, not so much individuals, but the nations that seem to visit the sick and those in prison and care for the needy, you know, the hungry and the naked and things like that. And he divides the goat nations from the sheep nations. It may be that there's whole areas, nations on the earth who kind of you know, try to not go along fully and allow people to live there and participate in their economies without taking the mark. And that'll be problems, obviously, during that period of time. Then probably an underground economy of sorts will take place, probably based on some sort of barter. Perhaps the exchange of gold or silver, something like that, any number of things. And I think that's probably going to be one of the biggest things right there. But it will be difficult during that time because in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is talking about the events during the tribulation, he says in Matthew chapter 24, he says, I'll start in verse 9. He says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And these are things during the tribulation, but we see the beginnings, the foreshadowing of these things. It's one of the reasons we know we're in the end times. And then he makes this curious statement in Matthew 24, verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And a lot of people misinterpret this, and they say, well, see, you have to hang on to the end to keep your salvation. But he's talking about people surviving during the tribulation period when there's going to be wars and pestilence and natural disasters and betrayals and the refusal to allow people to buy and sell unless they have the mark and all these things going on. And there's going to be people who come to a saving knowledge of Christ during the tribulation period. In fact, the Bible indicates multitudes during the tribulation will realize the truth of the gospel message, and even of the Jewish people. The Bible indicates in Zechariah and elsewhere that two-thirds of the Jewish people will be killed during the tribulation period, but one-third will survive, and they will embrace Jesus as their Messiah. I think it's a good gauge. Probably about two-thirds of the human population on earth will probably die during the tribulation period, and a third survive. But of those believers that survive and endure to the end of the tribulation, they will be saved out of the tribulation physically, and they will physically enter into the millennial kingdom. And these people who survive the tribulation and do not die, that they're believers, they are going to go into the millennial kingdom, and they will be like we are today. They'll be saved, but they'll still have this body with its sin nature. And they're going to have children during the millennial kingdom, and their children are going to be born with a sin nature. Sin entered into the world by one man, that's Adam, and death passed upon all through that. And so we've all inherited our sin nature because we're all children of Adam. And so these children born during the millennial kingdom will have a sin nature, and they'll have to put their faith in Christ. And they'll grow up and they'll have children, which will have a sin nature. And so multitudes of people will be born during the tribulation, and they'll be like we are today with a sin nature. And of course, the source of those people is going to be those that endure to the end of the tribulation. They will be saved from the tribulation, and they will go in to populate the earth. People like you and I who are born again will be caught up to be with the Lord in heaven before the tribulation begins, and we will return with Christ at the end of the tribulation. We'll also be there to rule and reign with Christ. And then, of course, those that die during the tribulation for the cause of Christ, as we read there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, those people will also be returned, and they'll be in a resurrected body as well, I believe, and they will rule and reign with Christ as well. And we have the Old Testament saints who will also come because they've been resurrected, and they'll return in a resurrected body with no sin nature like us. And so we'll all be there, but we'll also have this vast number of people who are the descendants of those that endure to the end of the tribulation and are saved through the tribulation, not saved spiritually, but saved physically. to make it in there. But yeah, it's going to be a rough time. That's why there's a good indication that large numbers of these people will die, and we do have indication that it's large numbers of people who are martyred, killed for the cause of Christ. So, some people say, well, I'll just wait and see if this happens, and if it happens, then I'll trust Christ as my Savior because I know it's okay, or I know it's real. Well, problem is, you're going to be stuck in the events of the tribulation. But if somebody believes, you know, like the Bible says, now's the accepted time. You know, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. And people should put their faith in Christ now before the tribulation begins, before the rapture, the catching away the believers takes place. So, be very interesting to see how some of this works out. But I would hate to have to be there to go through it because it's going to be very difficult. Underground economy dependent on people who might betray you at any minute. You know, kind of like, remember during Germany, Anne Frank's diary, remember? And how they were dependent, Jewish refugees were dependent on Gentiles who would be willing to die protecting them and feeding them, knowing that at any time they could be arrested and even killed themselves or sentenced to a concentration camp, or even when they're being protected, knowing that at any time they might be betrayed. And that's kind of what it'll be like during the tribulation period, I think. So I know we covered a lot of ground there, Nancy, but hopefully does that help you out a little bit? Do we still have Nancy? All right. I'm sorry about that, Nancy. I think we lost your call there somewhere. But hopefully we did cover what Nancy was asking about. She was asking about, you know, the what is going to happen with people during the tribulation that do not receive the mark. And it will be difficult. And not everybody that refuses the mark will do so because they're born again during the tribulation period. I think there's going to be some people who just don't want to go along with it. And so it is going to be, as I said, very interesting to see how things work out during that time. But I would not want to be there. And, of course, when you read the Bible, you understand you don't have to be there. You are here before the catching away of the believers takes place. You can put your faith in Christ and be born again today and have the guarantee of what Jesus said, that there's coming a time when he's going to sound that trumpet, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air as well. And in that moment, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye, that will be changed. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And this body of sin will be cast aside, and we'll receive a new body, a resurrected body without that sin nature. But, you know, you can wait. But there's danger in waiting, and certainly the fact that you have to go through the events of the tribulation. But there's also a danger, and just mention it here. We don't have time to get into it. I know the break is coming up here very shortly. But there's a danger of some people when the tribulation begins who will believe a lie. And we were talking about this at our Bible study previously, and that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, where it says, starting in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so there is a danger there. And that's why today now is the accepted time. Now is the time that we ought to put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And what better time we think about it? You know, we're looking at Palm Sunday, celebrating the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, which was a fulfillment of prophecy, not the least of which was Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks of years, followed by his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, stay tuned. We'll be talking about these things and a lot more. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions in, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening all the way up till midnight. But even if you can't, you can go online and check us out at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there and scroll down on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see our past programs. And it looks like I've got us up to date all the way up into this past Friday, March the 31st. And you can listen to past programs, and you can go back a ways there. And then there's even an archive page that takes you back quite a number of years. So you can listen to those programs all at livewithpastoral.com. You can also check us out some of our social media sites. We've got those listed there at livewithpastoral.com. And I've got a number of articles and things that are listed there as well. And a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You'll find all of that at livewithpastoral.com. RichfieldBible.com. Of course, we're brought to you tonight by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us. We'll have more information on that at the top of the hour again. And just a reminder that I'm currently preaching through books. I like preaching through books of the Bible. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings. We're in John chapter 3 right now. And then on Sunday evenings, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs, and we're in Proverbs chapter 23 right now. And then every Friday night, we have a Friday night Bible study that runs 7 to 9. It's an informal Bible study where you bring questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, just like we do on the radio. And that it's open, it's informal, we have refreshments, and it's just a good time of fellowship in addition to searching the Scriptures to see what they have to say and understanding the Scriptures and looking at what's happening in the world in light of God's Word, like we do on the radio program. In fact, the radio program grew out of our Friday night Bible study. That's another story as well for another time. We're brought to you, of course, by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And their phone number is 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Let them know you heard about them right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. It's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. And give them a call, 216-341-9100. All right, well, we're going to get back into our program here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We've got Terry, who's been waiting patiently for us here tonight. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Nice night out there, down there.
You know, it was an absolutely gorgeous day today, especially after yesterday. I don't know up in Canada on the north side of Lake Erie, but here on this side of Lake Erie, we had some tremendous winds go through. It seems like the last couple of Saturdays. Last Saturday, a lot of people were out, a lot of damage. This Saturday was interesting because I live in kind of a little sheltered area, sort of a little valley. And for me to get a gust of wind over 20 miles an hour is saying something. We had a straight line wind that came in. It was interesting because I have a little weather thing in my backyard, complete with a thing that tells you the wind speed, and it maxed out during this time at 10 miles an hour. Well, out that was in my backyard. Out my front yard, I heard this roaring, and I wasn't sure if we didn't have a tornado or something coming by the sound of it. I was just starting to get up, and it just roared through just that fast. And my daughter came in. We were looking out the window. We could see a spruce tree in our front yard. Looked like it was bent over at a 45-degree angle. And we heard a loud crash, not our tree, but across the street. A tree crashed down, nearly blocking the neighbor's driveway. And then when I went out a little later, I saw that just a couple houses up from us, a neighbor lost a large section of shingles on their roof where it was exposed to the wind, and several more trees up the road were down, large trees. And it was just like an incredibly powerful gust just went whistling right up through there. When you see something like that, it's impressive. And just thank God that it wasn't any worse than what it was. The worst damage to anybody's house seemed to be, at least in our area, was the shingles being gone. And then went up another area, and we were headed down toward Akron, Ohio, and the road was closed in Bath, and so it was hard to get around. We had to go around several spots where the road was blocked by a couple trees that were down from these straight-line winds. So it was exciting around here yesterday, and then today, just the sun came out, and a little breeze at times, but nothing bad, and just beautiful weather, gorgeous day. You wouldn't know that there had been the storms going through.
I went to church in Woodstock. Actually, a couple of churches in Woodstock today. I just wanted to get out of London.
So,
did some traveling.
Yeah. So.
So I just wanted it was a nice day, and I wanted somebody from Woodstock to bring some equipment back for me at a church that I know, and because the company's in Woodstock. And anyway, that's one reason why I went there.
Yeah,
they wanted to charge me $20 to send it back to them, and didn't want to do that.
Yeah, so
it's too expensive for that because you know we got the carbon tax that they're charging.
Oh, yeah, and these are things that are happening, and you made me think about that. There is some hopeful things that have happened over in the Netherlands. They had some heavy taxes on the farmers, and of course, the Dutch farmers are some of the most productive farmers in Europe. It's kind of like the breadbasket of Europe, as small as they are. They produce on a per capita basis, or maybe I should say a per hectare basis, more than just about any place in Europe. And they were being told by their government they had to go green, and they weren't allowed to use as much fertilizer, nitrogen fertilizer in particular, on their fields, which, of course, kills the production. And I saw something today where the farmers had made some strides and some tremendous victories in taking some elected positions in the government and walking back some of their green laws that they were trying to. So maybe some of the farmers in Canada and some of the truck drivers, remember the truck drivers convoy? Maybe some of them can get involved in parliament or in politics in Canada and oust some of those people that are foisting that Green New Deal nonsense on you.
Yeah, that's basically all that, Prime Minister Trudeau and Biden talked about the last time.
If they really wanted to capture carbon, if they really wanted to do something, they could plant trees and encourage people to plant trees. You know,
exactly. Plant trees instead of cutting them down.
Yeah, right? Encourage. Well, if you cut them down, just plant two trees for every tree you cut down, and you look at it. I know here in Ohio in the 1950s. Ohio was only 11% forested, because of agricultural land and everything. Trees have been cut down. Even where I grew up here in Richfield, Ohio, I remember my dad, who was born and raised in Richfield, saying he was young, you could look from certain streets to other streets and not see anything in between because it was all fields. It was no trees. And now today, those same places you can't see because the trees are all grown up. And trees, of course, and other plants take in carbon dioxide, and they produce oxygen and sugar and other things like wood fiber and things like that, and make very productive. So I know in the States we've been very successful, reforesting areas. A lot of the paper companies have planted more trees than what they harvest, and so we're actually seeing a net gain in forestation in many areas. Put their efforts there, it makes more sense, except that that's not what they want to do. They want to control you, and if they can control your carbon output, they can control you, and that's why they're doing it.
I think one reason why, too, is because they want to go complete carbon, and then so that people are so high that people can't afford the gas. So
well, exactly. Exactly. What was it? New York State, they're talking about banning new construction having gas or oil-based furnaces or gas stoves. Got to be all electric. Well, here's my question. Where's the electricity come from? We're not just pulling it out of thin air. We're burning coal, we're burning gas, we're you know, doing things like, oh, we'll just use wind turbines. Okay, that's great. How are you going to manufacture the wind turbines? You know, they have a net impact environmentally on the environment greater than what oil gas and coal energy production does. If anybody thinks you're going green with these windmills and solar panels, it's nonsense. You just don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes there's an advantage of having studied some of this stuff. But it's just like, people don't think about these things. God gave us resources for a reason, and properly managed and used, they benefit people tremendously. And it's just like, you see a large truck, like a Ford Expedition or Chevy Suburban or something like that going down the road, and people think, oh, it's hard, it's bad for the environment, and then a Tesla or a Prius goes by and they say, oh, look how good for the environment that is. And they don't realize those electric cars are worse for the environment than the biggest gas guzzler vehicle that you see on the road out there, because of what it costs to make them, to produce those batteries, and then to get rid of them when their usefulness is done. People don't look at the big picture. They don't know what is happening out there, and that's why I said it's all about control. It really is. They're sounding like they're concerned about the environment, but they're not. It's all about control. If they were that concerned about the environment, when they all flew over to Davos, Switzerland back in January, and John Kerry was reporting for duty saying that we're like a bunch of extraterrestrials out here, you know, special people saving the planet, and they all flew in on private jets and riding around in big stretch limos and things like that. But it's okay for them because they're saving the planet. No, it's all about control. And I was talking with Nancy in the first half hour about things in the tribulation period, and that's what it's all about. They need to control people. Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, said, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. It's all about control.
Look on the aviaries. I think, isn't that the word for it for birds?
Yes,
they're being killed because of those turbines.
Oh yeah, the numbers of birds, and not just birds, bats at night. The Cuyahoga County Fairgrounds here, not too far from where I'm sitting right now, has a big wind turbine there. And I remember one year being there during the Cuyahoga County Fair, and I was talking to the guys that were giving out information on the turbine. And I said, well, who picks up the birds every morning? And a guy in a rare moment of candor said, well, actually, there's more bats than birds.
And, yeah, they don't talk about that much.
Oh, no, no. I was saying something like that to somebody one time. They said, well, how many birds hit windows on buildings? Are we going to get rid of buildings? Well, okay, birds are hitting windows. That happens, and there's things that people do to try and mitigate it. But so because that's happening there, we're going to kill thousands and thousands of more birds with windmills for no good reason.
No, it just doesn't make no sense. It
makes no sense at all. I have a feeling the big guy's getting 10%, though, probably. But at any rate, maybe he's sharing that with the prime minister.
I won't share too much about this, but I was going to mention that I've been reading about what's going on in Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes.
Fired his finance minister. No.
Yeah, and I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we're going to be talking about that in the 11 o'clock hour.
Okay, so I won't talk about that too much. Yeah. I'll let you guys talk about
that. So we'll get hopefully some background information, some of the things that's going on there. And it's not just Israel. This affects the United States. This affects Canada. This affects Europe. This affects Britain. This affects New Zealand and Australia, all of what we call the free Western democracies. What is happening in Israel has implications for all of us. Again, it ties in with getting the world ready for the new world order and the rise of the Antichrist one world government. So we see it happening right before our eyes.
I didn't realize he became prime minister again. I was kind of surprised.
Netanyahu. And it is interesting. It's a lot going on there, and really the fact that he is prime minister has probably more to do with the demonstrations in Israel than the planned judicial reforms that they were talking about. So
it sounds like a lot about, you know, a lot of problems. That's the reason why they have a lot of problems with your Prime Minister Trump. President Trump.
President Trump. Well, and that's part of it, too, because they're desperate to keep him out of office. And so.
What a mess that is.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing is, I was reading an article, the prosecutor, Bragg, may have possibly committed an actual felony rather than, if you'll pardon the pun, a trumped-up one, like they're trying to hang on Donald Trump, because it is a felony in New York State to leak grand jury comments and indictments and things like that. And that there's been no official announcements, all based on leaks that have come out. Some people suspect that Bragg may have been the actual leaker. If he's not the leaker and guilty of a felony himself, he ought to be investigating a felony that occurred within his own office. And apparently he doesn't have any interest in investigating a real felony that has taken place right in front of the world's eyes. Because it's all about keeping Trump out of office. That's the goal. And again, he cannot be controlled. When he was president, he hindered the development of the New World Order, and that's why they don't want him back again. So,
yeah. Well, anyway, that's another story.
Oh yeah, and it'll keep going.
I don't know if I have. If I have much time, I just to bring up another subject.
Yeah, and I do have a couple other callers coming in as well.
Okay.
But if you want to real quick, as he's answering the phone right now, so he'll take a moment to get back to switch over. But what was another thing that you had there real quick?
Well, I was just going to mention that I've been studying Leviticus, you know, lately. Mm-hmm. I've been studying the Torah, and you know, it talks a lot about sin.
Mm-hmm.
And how important it was, you know, that if they even did anything that they didn't even know that they were sinning about,
right?
That was still considered a sin,
right? And so there were provisions in the law of sacrifices and offerings to be made for anything you might have done, and it even goes beyond that. Before the law, remember Job. Job, you know, is a guy that predates the law. He was right contemporary around about the time of Jacob or somewhere in that general time frame. And he offered sacrifices as the patriarch of his family. He offered sacrifices for his children for anything they might have done.
Right.
Even things that he didn't know for sure, but he made sacrifices for them.
If you made a covenant back in those days, if you made any kind of a covenant, you had to stick to it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's one of the covenants that he made about his daughter.
Yeah.
And it cost his daughter's life.
One of the guys in under the law during the Old Testament time frame. But, hey, Terry, I got to pick up another caller here, but appreciate your call tonight. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again in the future. We'll jump over here. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Mary Grace calling in tonight, and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor. You just, you know, I was listening to all the things that you said to Nancy,
mm-hmm.
and I pray for Nancy all the time because she's such a faithful girl, and many of us try to be as faithful as we can be.
Yes.
And the point is, we're in such an egregious situation. But I was listening to Art to Midnight last night, and I listened to General Dalili, which was a marvelous man. He's 83 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He says that we have to get all our generals back and to do this work. You understand? Because they're ruining our military.
Oh, absolutely. Terribly. Absolutely.
So backing all of these things. But there is a thing called the 10th Amendment of our Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and it seems that during the time of Obamanation, God help us all, he messed with that real bad. And there is like a website you can go to, and it's called 10letters, .org,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And you can download those. Do you see what I mean? And
yeah.
We have to fight for these things. We really do. And a lot of times they're just little things that, you know, that we miss, you know, that in our Constitution and mm-hmm. different things that we can stand on. And I just wanted to know what you had to say about it. And it's also about standing up America.
Uh-huh.
Or we have to do this. We have to stand up now or what?
Well, and you're absolutely right about things like the 10th Amendment and things. And I've talked with people before at our church and all in other situations. We have a lot of good things in the Constitution, a lot of things that if they were applied properly, would sort out a lot of the mess that our country's in and solve a lot of the problems that we have. But the problem is they're not being applied oftentimes, like the 10th Amendment, and the powers that are not specifically delegated to the federal government are reserved to the states. So talking about states' rights there and a number of other things. But I've likened it to having a really nice car and you're driving down the road and you're going fast. And you have brand new brakes on it that are great brakes, but you never step on the brakes. The brakes do you no good if you don't use them. The car's going to eventually crash or something because you're not willing to use the brakes. And that's what I'm afraid we're having happen in our country. I think the Constitution, there's some brilliant men that, just brilliant thinkers that are responsible. And I believe that God guided them in many cases. But they gave us some tremendous breaks. But if we're not willing to use what's in the Constitution, then our country's headed for a crash, isn't it?
Right. We're in a republic. If we can keep
right.
it.
Exactly. Hey, I'm glad you said that because that's what Benjamin Franklin said. They asked what kind of a government did we get at the Constitutional Convention. He said a republic if you can keep it. He did not say a democracy. And so many people think that we're in a democracy, and we're not. We're in a republic that has some democratic principles, but we are a republic which is far superior to a democracy. So
I know, and I praise God all the time, and I know all his names, and I call him Abba Father. He's my mm-hmm. daddy. You
yes.
know, I love him, and, I want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, but it's, you know, to be as old in the Lord as I am, I'm still praising him, and I'm always loving him more than you can know, and many times I spend all night praising God, but, the point is, God help us. We have to stand up and fight for this country. And even though it may be quiet outside, I don't know what's in those white trucks that go by all the time. And they're closed up. We don't know if they're trafficking children and what they're putting in there. And that is my point. We really have to know that there's things going on that we're not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And that a liar can't tell the truth. And when
right.
you have a pedophile sitting in an administration, this is just not it. And too many lies. I can't listen to that.
Right. Well, hey, we're running out of time here. We're going to hit the top of the hour break here in just a minute. And Mary Grace, I want to thank you for your call tonight, and I want to encourage everybody to stay tuned. We've got another hour to go, so stay tuned.